rejoicing this week over how good the Lord has been to Harlan and I. Of course, when I first met this body of people, of course, he was a Baptist boy, and we was dating, and of course, I learned later that you're not supposed to be unequally yoked together, so I just let him to know how much better what I had was better than what he had, so he decided that too, so he just come along and joined in with us. So anyway, God is good to us. Yes. He is so good, and I just think how wonderful that he has been to us to show us this wonderful way. Yes. And I always desired to hear the word of God, and I like to see a anointed ministry. I like to see somebody that knows what they're talking about, and they feel it, and they make you feel it. That's a good way of knowing it's all right. Right. Yeah. Anyway, the Lord is wonderful. I praise him and I thank him. I thought how that we went through some rough things, and most young people, it would have been hard for them to take it. I was thinking how that after Harlan come out of service, well, we lived up in Missouri, up in southeast Missouri, around Saxton and up in there, and we had real good farmland, and we did real good that year, and in fact, we was able to buy us a tractor. Of course, it was a used tractor, but it was a good one, and we had our hogs, and we had our cows, and we had our chickens. So when you have that when you're on the farm, you're doing pretty good, because and then you have a good garden, so you can live off the land, so you can do pretty good. So I thought how that when that we were just up there a year or two, and we did real good. But then one night I had a dream, and I woke up crying. And Harlan, he said, "What's wrong?" And I told him a dream way during the night. And so I dreamed, of course I've told this before, but anyway, some maybe have heard and some haven't. But anyway, it makes me feel good to tell it again, so I hope it'll make you feel good to listen to it again. So anyway, I dreamed that I was out in this big open field, and there's big stones falling all around me. And I knew that sooner or later that I was going to have to get back to Arkansas. Of course, you know, it's funny how the Lord works things. He could have let me went to church right up there in Missouri, but you know he didn't. Had to move all the way back to Arkansas. I don't understand the Lord sometimes, but he does things and he does it well. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. So anyway, I dreamed those big rocks was about to hit me, and I fell down on my face in the dirt. Of course, we was farmers, and he let me be out in the field. We was, I suppose, chopping cotton or something. Anyway. And I prayed that prayer, "Lord, don't let them stones hit me and kill me until I can get back to where I can hear this gospel." And, of course, we was in Missouri. We was in about 25 miles of a minister of this body. And I thought, "Lord, why did you have us to move all the way back to Arkansas when we could went 25 miles?" Of course, we didn't have a car, but we could probably have borrowed his dad's vehicle, maybe. But anyway, we had to move all the way back to Arkansas. Yeah. Well, anyway, we moved in this old house. And I think about you people that has moved from Missouri down here, but I don't think you had as rough as we did. But anyway, somebody has to kind of work the road ahead of, you know. Yeah. So anyway, we rented this huge big truck. I said that we looked like Noah's Ark going down the road, because we had all the animals. We had the pigs a squealing, the cows a bawling, and the baby a bawling, and we just really had a time. But anyway, we come on, and we moved in this old house that, honestly, it was not a good barn. It was not a good barn. And we moved out of a three-little-room house. It was cozy, and, of course, it was just a farm, you know, country farmhouse, but it was cozy. But we moved in this old house, and it looked like that I was, Harlan, he took things better than what I did. I didn't say anything, but I would take things, and it would just bother me. And the old house was cold. It was cold. And rats, honest to goodness, we had rats galore in that place, because the house hadn't been lived in a long time. And so there was a lot of things that needed to be done. And one night we went over to my brother's and spent the night with him. He lived close by. And they actually, I didn't think anything about it. We put our groceries on the table. We thought everything would be all right. We didn't think about anything bothering. And we come home, and the rats had opened up a loaf of bread and taken every piece. I mean, just like so nicely. They opened it up and took every piece out of there and all. And we said, boy, we got to do something. And they were so bad. They were so bad. And honestly, at nighttime, I was scared them things would get on the bed with us. And, of course, our daughter was just about 5 months old. And I thought, they'll carry my baby off. So we had to really get busy and try to get rid of some of them. So it looked like everything that would test and try us happened that year. And Harlan said, coming out of the service, the agriculture, I was on the agriculture program, and so we bought chickens, and we raised chickens, of course, just for ourselves. And come home from church one day, we started to church, and of course, that's the reason we moved, because we come to where we could go to church. And we come home from church one day, and our yard was full of dead chickens. And I said, Lord, we've moved all the way from Missouri. We've moved in this old house. It's just not a good barn. And why is this happening? Why is it happening? And, you know, but the Lord tries us. And then one day I was in the kitchen, and I was complaining in my spirit. I wasn't talking, you know, to nobody, only just myself. And I was really complaining. And, you know, I heard a voice. It sounded like that it just roared out. Said, do you really want the truth? And I said, oh, yes, yes, yes. And I'll tell you what, I didn't complain anymore, because I knew that the Lord was getting hold of me, because I was complaining. And I thought, Lord, I'll take these rats, I'll take dead chickens, anything, because I know that the Lord put us there. And so, you know, it's just really something what the Lord will do for you and yes. Do to you to get you to be what he wants you to be. And so, but that was the most trying year. It was the most trying year. And to top it all off that winter, the road completely fell through. The road into town was 5 miles. Brother Wayne, you know where we live. You know that old road. And honestly, we had to go to town on the tractor. In fact, we went to church on a tractor, a John Deere tractor. And I'll never forget all these experiences, but did you know now I look back and thank the Lord for them. Lord, I thank you for everything that I went through, because I might not be here today if it had not gone through those things. But that road was just fell through, and in fact, the first time we went on the tractor, we had the rubber tires on it. Well, we got stuck. Can you imagine getting stuck on the tractor? But we did. Well, then Harlan, later on, he put lugs and maybe I might not know what lugs are, but it's the steel wheels on a tractor. And so then that way we made it to church just fine. Now that was when we couldn't go in cars or anything like that. So, but anyway, I thought so many things that we went through, but I just made up my mind and that, Lord, this is what it takes. We've got to be tested and tried, because the Lord is not going to... we're not going to be in no security risk to him. He's going to have us doing what he wants us to do in the way he wants us to. And so I'm so thankful. I can look back and see all those things now that we went through. And then our minister, he really taught us the word of God. But he didn't play around about it. He didn't beat around the bush. Brother Durham, we come up under some ministers that, I mean, it's like, you know, used to, when I grew up, parents really were strict with their children. When they said something, they meant it. And I mean, they loved their children and they raised them good, but they didn't mean no monkey business. I mean, you do right or else, you know. And so that's the way it was. And the ministers, they taught us, but they taught strict, and we loved them for it, because we'd been used to being raised strict in everyday life. So therefore, we didn't mind it in the teaching part. So anyway, I just, I thought many times how that the minister taught, and we got the real core of the thing. I mean, we really got the Word of God, and it's something that will stick to you. It's something that you can take home with you and enjoy it and chew on it and realize that God is doing a great work for His people. So I just think so many times, Lord, I appreciate this way. I'm thankful that I've come through the things that I have, because I know that as we go on in God, it's not the road is not going to be easy to hold. It's just not going to be easy. We're going to go through things, and I don't mean to sound a bad sounding story, but just wait and see. Just wait and see. But anyway, we got to be prepared for the journey. Yes. We got to be shod with the gospel of the Word of God. Yes. For us to make this journey. But it's a most wonderful way, and I appreciate it. I don't feel like that it's been too hard, because after all, anything, even in the natural, that you work hard for, if you want it bad enough, you're going to work hard for it. And that's the way it is in the gospel, that we want this, and here we are. We're ready for it. And I know that the Lord will help us through everything that there is for us to go through. I know Brother Leninger used to tell us that the Lord will make a way for us.
Yes,
His people, He will make a way for us and help us to go through things. So, of course, He's not the only one who said that. Others have too, but I just know He preached on that once, and it was encouraging to know that anything that we go through, the Lord will be by our side. He will help us. So tonight, I appreciate this way, and I love this church. And I thought today, about my work, I'm always thanking the Lord for this wonderful way, and I'm glad that He has let me to live this long to enjoy the great things of God. And of course, I'm sorry now that we can't travel, we can't get out and go to the meetings like we used to, and I miss that so bad. In fact, the first year that we missed the camp meeting, I just couldn't hardly stand it. I just could not hardly stand it, because I love to go to the meetings. I like to see the people of God. I like to see the ministry. I love to hear them bring forth the Word of God, because I know that the Lord is going to have a people. He's going to fulfill His plan. And I thank the Lord that we are part of it tonight. I appreciate Him. And I thank Him for this wonderful way. And it's not too hard. It's not too hard. We can make it. And so tonight, I just appreciate the Lord and thank Him for all that He's done for us. And it's just a good life. It's a good life.
Yes.
And I just like to say to our young people, don't give up. I've made it this far, and I've come through some hard things.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can make it. So I just thank the Lord that I've had this wonderful opportunity, and it's been a privilege and an honor to live in the body of Christ and to hear the things that we have heard and to know the great reward that we're going to get. So tonight, I highly appreciate the things of God, and I appreciate the body of Christ, and I appreciate you people. And I told Harlan, we was talking long ago about that we've had a good life here in this church. We worked hard. We was talking about the things that, the natural things that we worked hard. In fact, the business, I was going through some pictures, old pictures, last night, getting a lot of pictures separated and getting them all together. And I found a lot of the pictures of where we built this church. And so we've just reminiscing the things that we had done and how that we worked hard for the old building to keep it looking like a church building and to feel like one. And we've all put in some hard labor, Brother Weininger. It's been, but we enjoyed it. We really enjoyed it. And I know Harlan, and especially Harlan, Brother Foster, Brother Foster, pretty good sized man, and of course Harlan wasn't too far behind him, but he's smaller than he is now. But they climbed under that old building and had to dig their way through to put the pipes and fix the floor and do things like that. But I said, you know, we worked hard, but I said, wasn't it a wonderful feeling to know that you can be a part of something that God is doing? So tonight, to be a part of the plan of God is a wonderful thing, and I thank Him for it.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Crow, I just really appreciate everything that the Lord has done, and He's been so good to me and my family, and I'm just thinking I have so much to thank him for, and I know a lot of times, you know you're a child of God, and you know that he has his hand on you, and sometimes you just have to encourage yourself and remember those things sometimes when it does get difficult, and just to have to encourage yourself. And I heard somebody say, being happy is a choice. You can choose to be happy, or you can choose to be miserable, and I want to choose to be happy. And there's enough misery and miserable people all around the world, and just that you rub shoulders with every day. And I thought, you know, I have a tendency to be on the negative side and dwell more on the negative, and I want to change that and dwell more on the good things of the Lord. And I saw this thing on Pinterest of where somebody had gotten a jar, and they said, write down every good thing that happens in that year and put it in that jar, and then at the end of the year, look at all the little things that happen, all the good things that happen, and I'm sure we'd be amazed how full we could get, you know, that jar full of good things. And I was just wanting to give the Lord a praise. At my job, I'm paid hourly, and so I usually get paid. We're a week off. We get laid off a week in Thanksgiving, and we're laid off 2 weeks in Christmas. And I either get paid for one or the other, and it's usually just the 1 week in Thanksgiving and 2 weeks of no pay in Christmas, and that has really been hard. And so today we were filling out timesheets for the next couple of weeks, and there's a lady there and I both that are paid hourly, and she said, come here. She said, I wanted to go over this, our timesheets. She said, this is what our boss told us to do. And I said, okay. And so I was looking at the dates with her and everything. And she said, he told us to write down hours for every day except for Christmas and New Year. And I literally almost started to cry right there. Because, you know, and having your own business and everything, you know what it's like to struggle, especially in the winter when we were in roofing business. And I mean, you had to work in the summer when the work was there, and then you just kind of skimp through on, you know, eating eggs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and cereal, and in the winter. And but I was just so thankful. I even told her, I said, I'm going to take a moment of silence here for a moment. And she just laughed. She goes, I know what you mean. I've been there, you know. But I was just really thankful, because that was just so unexpected. And on top of that, I got a Christmas bonus as well. And I just thought, Lord, you're so good. You're so good to us to know, you know, when we have needs and we have this wedding coming up and everything, and just trying to do everything we can to prepare for that. And that the Lord's just so good. And I just wanted to thank him. Lord, you are so good to me. And you know who you know my name. You know who I am, little old me down here in Little Rock, Arkansas. You know where I am. And I just appreciate that so much, to know that I can know him and that he's there beside me, and he just takes care of us, you know. And I just always think, Lord, I know you're my father. I remember when I was a child and growing up without my father, and when he passed away, and just, you know, for me, I could just talk to him just like I'm talking right here, and I could feel him. I really could feel him, feel his presence with me, and I just appreciate that. I'll never forget that, and I'll never, no one can ever tell me that he's not real and his spirit's not real. And I just really appreciate him being with me all these years, and I just really appreciate the Lord, and appreciate each one of you.
When we first moved to Springfield, Missouri, I can tell you a lot of things that happened to us when we first moved to Springfield, Missouri from Texas, the church moved there. But this one thing, we were so thankful to have this little apartment, and it was 3 bedrooms, and my boys, we were all excited, but after we lived there for a while, they wanted a yard. And we had a yard, but they had to share it with every kid in the apartment complex. And so I told them one day, I said, it was in the wintertime, and I said, if we start praying, I bet God would help us to get a house, you know, with a yard. and we had no money to rent anything more than what we were renting. And so, in all odds, it looked like that was impossible. But I just said, if we trust God, I just wanted to give him something to pray for. And so every day, before we started school, we would get down on our knees and we'd pray. And that always was mentioned every day. And this went on for months. And one day, the boys kept telling me, well, when is it going to happen? I said, I don't know, but, God will help us. Well, one day, Brother Smith called, and he said, I know a man who I've been hunting with, and he knows a lady who lives in this town, and she's got this house. I'm like, yeah? He says, yeah, she asked me if there was a family in my church that I thought that would like to live in her house. And I thought, you guys. And I had never said anything to Brother Smith about that, about us praying that way. I just wanted to give my boys something to pray about because it's something they wanted and everything. And we just put it on our prayer list. And so I remember it was a Sunday, and we all got in the car, and we went to church. And I told the boys after church, we're going to go into this little town, and we're going to look at this house. And they were so excited, that we're going to go look at a house. Oh, it's so much. You have to kind of know my boys are a little bit crazy. They were like, a house, so that was a big deal for us. And so we, after church that day, we drove into this little town, and it's the town that had 500 people in it. And we drove up to this house, and we looked at this house, and I went, this has got to be the wrong house. It was this huge two-story house, and this big piece of property. I mean, it was pretty, grass and trees, and just, it was beautiful. It had a big old barn on it. And, of course, my boys, they didn't care. They looked at the house. That was great. But the barn and the trees, they were like, wow. That's the first thing they went to was that barn. And I said, oh, we looked in the windows because it wasn't open. We looked in the windows, and they said, she told us to go by and just look at it and see if we'd be interested. And I thought, I wouldn't be interested. So we looked in the windows. We were all excited. And I said, oh, this is going to be way too much money. I said, we can't afford to live here. I said, Roy, you'll have to drive this long ways. And so anyway, we called her and we told her, we'd like to know more about it. So she met us there, and she turned out to be a Christian woman, and she just instantly liked us. And so the dreaded how much, is it? And so we asked her, and it was the same amount of money we were paying for this apartment. We were so excited. Oh, my word. I mean, we thought, when and how soon can we get here, get in here? And I remember when we moved in there, the look on my boys' face when they realized that we're going to get to move there, they were so excited. And I thought, God is such a loving God, such a loving God that he would answer some poor little boys' prayer, And I know that that's the reason we got that house, because earnestly they wanted to move into a house with a big yard. And he gave them what they wanted, and he gave me even more. And I was so excited. And, that was a house that we made home for, Paul was four. So we lived there almost 18 years we lived there. Because eventually the lady wanted to sell it to us, and she sold it to us at a very good price, one that we could afford. And I never thought we'd own a house. But it was just how the Lord led us into that house, And I just thought, the Lord doesn't, right now you think, oh, things just can't happen for me. But if you just hold on to God, if you hold on to him and have faith, that God can do something for your situation. And that's only one thing. I could just name so many other things that the Lord has helped us with. And I was just trying to think of, I was trying to encourage myself. That was one thing I was encouraging myself with today. And I thought, oh, Lord, you can do anything. I'm the one who limits you. I'm the one that limits, how far, what you can do. And I just want to thank the Lord for my life. I mean, this is a wonderful life, and I just appreciate it, and I love him, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate you all, too.
Thank you.
I feel like God has been so good to me as well. And I got up the same time, I think, as all three of you guys did. I'm like, but I'm like y'all, I just, you know, feel like there's so many wonderful things that I could share, how the Lord has been good to me and to my family. And Sister Durham got me to thinking back when I met Brother Smith and the church in Republic, and you know how blessed. I didn't realize the day I met Brother Smith how important that would be to the rest of my life, but it has proved to have been, you know, a huge decision, had a huge effect on my life. And you know, I really believe that God led me this way. And I remember somebody asking Brother Smith if God could lead somebody before they had the Holy Ghost, or, you know, before they actually met the body. And I just felt like jumping up and saying, yeah, God can lead you. I remember, you know, I didn't grow up, I wasn't born in a ungodly family. I was born in a family where I was taught the Bible and knew I had been saved and had a relationship with the Lord. But I was 21 years old when I realized that there had to be something better than what I had. And I remember fasting and praying off and on. I didn't fast solidly for 2 weeks, but off and on for 2 weeks. And Brother Smith had, I had met Brother Smith about 3 months prior to this, but I had really suffered a lot of depression, and I was really low at the time. And God reminded me of Brother Smith, and I was really looking for a church to go to. And I really felt like God led me and told me that I needed to go to church there in Republic and just see what it's like, you know, just see. Because I remember the first, you know, brother, we have a saying around here that you need to come around at least 7 times before you can really get a feel about what we're all about, because one service may be totally different than the next service. But I believe the first time I came here, I just felt something really sweet, a very sweet spirit, and it was enough to remind me that God reminded me of y'all. And I came back, and but I was just thinking about the words in that song, that he brought me out of the miry clay and put my feet on the rock to stay. And I didn't know where God was leading me until, you know, I'd been there probably a couple years before I was starting to see that there was, you know, that God had led me here with y'all. And I remember one time, one of the biggest lumps I had to swallow, I suppose, was when I realized that God brought me out of the miry clay. Because I had grown up in church, you know, I knew God. I felt like I was a good person. And I can relate to Brother Durham when he said that, you know, he felt like he almost was there. Yeah. you know, almost had it figured out. And when, you know, I come around here, I'm like, you know, I think I could help these people a little bit if they just listen to me. Sister Dahlia, I heard that laugh. But that's how I felt, you know. It's amazing, you know, how we can be sometimes. You know, Brother Leninger used to say, we all come here with a bad spirit and an ignorant mind. You know, that was hard for me to swallow, too. But I realized that I did, you know. And when I found out that I came from Babylon, and you know, I just remember I was talking to Brother Smith about Babylon, you know, and he said, Brother Mark, you came from Babylon. Do you realize that? And that set me back for a little bit, you know. I had to think about that for a while. But I come to realize that he was right. And so God brought me here, and I feel blessed today. I feel like God has been very good to me. And I realize now I still got a long ways to go. And, you know, like Brother Smith has said before, the more you learn about God, the more you realize how big he is and how much there is to know and how little we really are. And So I feel blessed and humbled, you know, to feel like God cared enough for me to bring me this way, and that he loved me. I really feel like that he chose me. You know, that's an amazing thing to think that God, the Almighty God, would consider me, you know, just one person out of all the 7 billion people in the world, you know. Little old me, he thought about me. God thought about me. And so I feel blessed. And I love y'all. You know, Sister Crow, I appreciate what you went through to come this way. And I know that things used to be a lot harder than they are today. Living, you know, just to live was a lot harder. And of course, I feel like we're kind of roughing it, you might say. You know, we're living in a little travel trailer and trying to make ends meet. But I know it. We do have mice. They're little ones. but they're not in our trailer. They're in our shop, and we're trying to get moved in over there, and it's not enclosed, and we've got all our stuff over there, you know. But it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. It's no biggie. You know, I just feel wonderfully blessed. You know, I know God, we moved in, found a beautiful place to rent, lived there for 2 or 3 years, and same price as some of the houses that we looked at, we wouldn't even think of living in. And so we felt like God blessed us to do that, and then I remember we drove by that piece of property over there next to Brother Stewart, and always thought how beautiful it was and didn't have any idea that one day we'd own it. And so we own it now, and we're building, we're getting settled. Who was talking about getting, I feel like we're kind of settling in, you know, settling down a little bit. And, but it's good. It's a good feeling. I feel like I'm Arkansan. I didn't even know how to say that till I moved down here. I used to always think it was an Arkansawyer or something like that. But we're in Arkansan now. And I don't know whether this is good or bad, but I'm starting to pick up some of the the Arkansan dialect. But I love y'all. We have a beautiful state we live in, a beautiful church that y'all had here when we got here, and we have wonderful people to fellowship with. The church building would be nothing if it wasn't for y'all, and we've gained so many friends, and. y'all know this is 12-12-12. I think this is the day the Mayans said would be our last day, isn't it? Huh? I seen somebody on Facebook say it was supposed to be today, but maybe. Huh? The 21st. So we're still got a few days left. Well, y'all better get ready. Now, I don't know what the Mayans knew. For what I hear, they was pretty ungodly people. And so I wouldn't put a lot of weight in that. But it is kind of interesting. And I do want to be prepared. My brother called me today, and he texted me, and he said, "I hope you're having a good day." And I said, "Yeah, I'm counting them. I only got a few left, you know." And I said, "It's the end of the world this year, you know." And he's like, he said, "Well, you moved down there to all that sandy soil." He said, "You know, that's all going to flood one of these days." I'm like, "I never thought of that. I might have to move back." No. He said, I said, "Well, it's going to save you." He says, "Well, I'm on higher ground over there." I said, "Well, you just something you don't know about where I'm at." I said, "I'm on a high mountain." I gave him the scripture in the Bible. I can't remember what I told him, but that we're on a high mountain. God's got us on his children are on a high mountain.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm in a high place. And I feel like no matter where I'm at, as a child of God, I feel safe. I feel like I'm on solid ground. I'm on a solid rock, Sister Crow. And I feel safe to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I can talk to him, Sister Cindy, just like he's right here with me.
Yeah.
I do it many times and have felt the comfort. When he gave us the Holy Ghost, he said it would be a comforter.
Yes.
And I feel comfortable with him tonight.
Yeah.
There was a time when I didn't feel so comfortable around God and his people. I felt convicted. I felt guilty of my sins. But he's taken that from me. He's forgiven, gave me forgiveness. And he's filled me with the Holy Ghost and made me feel comfortable around y'all. I feel comfortable in the presence of the Lord. And I love that feeling, Sister Crow. I love it when I feel like he's talking to me. When I feel his presence down deep in my heart. And it makes me feel like I'm on something solid. And it makes me feel like that I have something to build upon. There's a scripture in Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 3, where he said that every man's work will be revealed by fire to see what sort it is. But we can be saved, but our work will be burnt. And so when God brought me here, he had to bring me down to the rock bottom. And I realized that I had to start all over in my thinking and had to rebuild my spiritual house and to relearn what I had, I felt like I had, you know. I felt like I knew quite a bit about the Bible. But I learned that, you know, I had to give a lot of that up. I didn't have to give it all up. I had to give a lot of it up. And so he's strengthening me. He's making me a stronger person. And so I'm looking for that day where I can say I'm perfect, you know. I don't feel like I'm there yet, but I'm working on it. And so I feel blessed to be here tonight. I love y'all. Amen.
Was up talking about those rats getting into that loaf of bread. My mind was about three steps ahead, thinking that story was going to end with the rats taking all the bread except for the heels, leaving the heels. And when she got down, that would have made a great story. She should have ended with that. They left the heels. What was that? Oh, they took it all. Okay. Left you the wrapper, though. You wrap your feet up and walk to school uphill both ways. But I'm thankful for everything. They seem like that's the message of the night, is how thankful we are and for what we've done, what we've got, and the way God's taken care of us. And Sister Cindy was talking about, you know, her job, and how sometimes you can open up your bank statement and all of a sudden there's money in there that you didn't realize you had. Or this is the time of the year that shipping, the business that I'm in, traditionally, just, you know, November, December, January, February is just slow. There's a reason they call it slow as Christmas, because it really is slow. But since I made some promises to God that if He would, you know, and we're in a, when it gets slow, what the old saying is, when the pie gets smaller, the knives get longer, and you know, that's when they really start looking. They really start looking through your accounts, and they start with people in your corporate office really come after you. And all of a sudden, I've gotten more big accounts in the last, I'd say, month that just came out of nowhere. I never saw it coming. And we're judged on our bill count, how many shipments we do a day. And our Little Rock's bill count is higher right now than probably anybody else in our region. And so that what it does is that puts, you know, corporate's eyes somewhere else. So when your bill count drops, that's when they start looking. And I'm thankful for that. And I know I give God all the credit. I mean, I do, because there's nothing I could have done that could, you know, even if I could go out there and hustle my head off, it wouldn't make a difference this time of year. Nobody wants to see anybody. Nobody wants to make any deals. It just is what it is. And in December, basically, you might as well just shut down the whole month of December, because, you know, after Thanksgiving, they don't want to talk business. But anyway, God's carrying us through that, and I'm thankful for that. And I know I probably need to get going, but I am thankful for God's people and everything He's done for us and the way He keeps His hand over us every day, and I appreciate it.
I'm thankful when I have a bad day, a good day, or just a fair day. But it's always good. It depends on the way you look at it. So I want to be thankful. It's been a good day. So I want to make sure that I tell everybody, Sister Crow, you had a good story, even when they ate the bread. If they ate the heel, the rats were still healthy. But I never had the rats or the mice or anybody, anything eat the bread except me. I had a lot of cockroaches there in Cape Girardeau. That's why I'm real picky about my cockroaches. That's my issue. I don't have no rats, but when I have problems, I try to go to the Lord. Sometimes I don't find him. Sometimes I have to go see some of the brethren and talk with them. As the scripture says, it's little foxes that spoils the vine. Sometimes I got a lot of small foxes. And so sometimes I have to talk to the Lord. I don't get a message. I don't get anything. I don't got a direct hookup with him. So I have to go rattle some cages and talk to some of the brothers up here. And but I want to make sure I give thanks to the Lord, but I want to make sure I say thanks to the brethren. Sometimes I come up here and talk to y'all. That's one thing that I can always say that I can do is go to our ministers here and be thanks, give thanks to them. You know, I'm solid with our brothers here. Brother Smith is a positive person of who we put up here with our brethren here. That's one thing that I can I'll be real positive about is when I moved back here from Russellville, it was sort of hard for me to adjust from just one person to here, but it took some adjusting. But as long as I'm not set one way and be adjusted, so like just one set way, just one solid. You can't be flexible. You have to be able to adjust. You have to be flexible enough to be able to go how the Lord set you. That's what I need right there. As long as I can come up here and just say, Brother Durham, I need some help. Brother Weininger, Brother Pryor, Brother Mark, I can come to Brother Tally. I got a problem. I can be solid enough because Brother Smith put you up there, and I can be comfortable with you. As long as I can do that, I should be able that way. That's I did not have where I was at. As I can be solid here, and that was one of my problems I had, but I have got over that. That's what I'm really getting to is I'm comfortable enough to be comfortable enough. I mean, I'm still adjusting to a lot of things from where I was at is from a little bitty church. I mean, back to here, I was here for how many years? Brother McGowan, how many years? Many, too many. But it took me a little bitty church to find out, and I learned from it. That was the good part. I learned from a small assembly to see how some things work, but I come back here, and I benefited. If it depends on it. Here comes the part. There's always something good there. It depends on how I want to look at it. So I come back here, and I see the good things, and I believe when I come back here, I can always be thankful what I've learned there to what I got now. See, it depends on how I want to look at it. I can see what they got to what I got now. And if I can put it all in the same bread wrapper and put it in there, and I've got something good. And as long as I can still, as long as I have the bread, it's good. And I just don't let the rats get it. But so as long as I can get something and keep it, but I can share it. Sometimes I want to keep it to myself, but I want to make sure I share it. And Brother Mark was speaking a while ago about coming down from Republic, but I think I helped. Who was it that I helped move down here from Republic? Was it Brother Durham? Who was it I put in there in the tractor trailer? Brother Leninger put y'all in a tractor trailer. Brother Doug, that's who it was. So some of y'all has put you in those trucks. That is why I feel a little bit more comfortable. I mean, it's sort of like I got ties with you. You put me in that truck to come up here and move you down. So I feel like I already got ties with you, and it's sort of like more attached that I can relate to you. I sort of like more comfortable, but I can always say I got to meet you first. So that to me, that's sort of the other people here didn't get that I got. So it's always a benefit to be a brother and sister with y'all. And Brother Mark, since you're down here, you're part of us because you're more Arkansas and you get a better accent because you're y'all. So, but it's a privilege also. Now, I'm glad you moved down here, and I appreciate everybody that has moved down. And it's a blessing also the priors y'all moved in here. Like I say, you just fit here. I'm glad, and I appreciate the Lord letting me move back here. See, everybody, it always comes down to a positive side, and that's one thing Brother Weininger always said. There's always a positive thing. You always look at the positive. And here's one thing I always want to look at. You had a bad day, but guess what? There's always somewhere. You got to look for it, but you had a good day somewhere.
I've been here about 28 years, I want to thank God for reaching down and touching me. I didn't have a background like Brother Mark did. I didn't come out of Babylon. I come out, I guess, from the Philistines, I guess, where it was. I believe it was Paul. He said that he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. I believe I was a Philistine among the Philistines. But God did reach down. He did touch my heart. He did bring me here. And I was looking out over the congregation, and I was looking at different people, and I can't think of one person in here looking at, not unless they're a small child, of course, that hasn't touched me in some way. I mean, every one of y'all have. The people from Arkansas here, the Missouri people, and I really appreciate y'all. And I can sit here or stand here, and I can go on and go on and go on the things that God's done for me. And I've seen God touch men's minds, standing right in front of me, just touch somebody's mind and change them, make them do something else. I've learned a long time ago, you do the right thing and do it with the right reason, and God will make it right. God will touch you. God will bless you. And I did come from the world, and I come here, and I'm going to tell a quick story, and I know y'all have heard it 100 times, but it really means something to me that shows how God can touch somebody. And I come here, and I lost my job. I worked for General Electric. And how I lost my job was, I think at that time we had church on Saturday night, Sunday night, and Wednesday, I believe. And I was working nights, and we worked from Sunday night through Thursday night. So I could only come one night a week. And I guess that was Saturday night service. And I knew, I had enough sense at that time, I knew if I didn't come every service, I wouldn't be able to make it. I'd just go back out in the world. So I'd get in the back of the warehouse. Well, actually, me and Tim Velez, y'all remember Tim, and we pray. We say, God, get us moved to days or get us laid off. And that went on about 2 weeks, and we got laid off. And anyway, I was at work for about 6 weeks, and during that time, we was finishing up the church here, and we worked out good. We helped finish the church, get moved in here. But anyway, I got a job offer from a pharmaceutical company, and it was a temporary position, a temporary employee. And I went there, and they talked to me, and they said, yeah, we like you. You know, we like to hire you, but you have to take a polygraph test. And y'all know what a polygraph test is. They just check your background, see if you're lying, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I went to North Little Rock. They set me up the polygraph, and they said, well, now, if you lie on this polygraph test, we're not going to hire you. I don't care what your background is. If you lie, you're not going to be hired. And I said, that's not a problem. So I went there, and they hooked me up. They asked me a question. They said, now, we want you to tell the truth. And I told the truth. And they asked me another question. They said, we want you to tell a lie. So I said, and I told a lie. That way they can get a reading on this polygraph. And he sat down. He had a clipboard, and he started asking me questions. And he said, have you ever stole anything? I said, yes. Have you ever used drugs? I said, yes. Have you ever done this? I said, yes. Have you ever did that? And I said, yes. He actually got up, come over to me, looked me in the eye. He said, son, they ain't going to hire you. And I looked at him and I said, but you don't understand. I've been saved. I don't do those things anymore. And he got up, he went over, he tore the paper off the polygraph machine, threw it away, rethreaded it. He asked me a question, tell me to tell the truth. I did. Then he said, tell a lie, and I did. Then he made this statement. He said, since you have been saved, have you ever? Then he started asking those questions. And I said, no, 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 no. Well, anyway, I got hired. And that was a blessing right there. But I've seen things all through my life I can be thankful for. Just like we started a business 2 years ago, and like Sister Cindy said, when you're self-employed, it's tough in the wintertime. And it is. You know, last winter it was eggs a lot of times. but this winter we've had jobs. We've had large jobs just pop up out of nowhere. We got a real nice job for the State Department downtown we're going to do in January, and that's just out of nowhere. It just popped up. Sold a couple puppies when we needed the money. You know, it's just there. God just makes it right when you need it. And, you know, I don't know what, you know, next month maybe. We may be back to eggs again. But I know God will, yeah, God will put those eggs there. And I know that, and I've seen that enough throughout my life. But go back to my original statement. You do the right thing and do it every time, and God will bless you for it, no matter what. He will. Thank you.
I appreciate being here, too. Sister Crow has stirred up all of us. We see how we got here, and reminds me of, she was talking about her rats. I remember one time I worked for a company called, we called Ernie and Fred, but it was E&F Construction. And it was a company we built piers and things to set motors and stuff on for oil companies in their deal, but we rented an old house, and for some reason or another, I stayed there for the week, and just I was there by myself, and you sat there. It looked like the linoleum had been placed there about 20 years before the house was there. It was just all ragged and pulled away from the walls and everything, but talking about the mice or the rats, you could sit there and watch Green Acres, and the mice would run across the, down the wall, you know, just out of light, you know. So I got me a bean flip, and the only thing I had, I found me a box of Crayolas. And so I loaded me up a Crayola, and when a mouse run across the floor, just on the other side of the TV, well, I would shoot at him. And so you could see the skid marks on the floor, because it was just past the linoleum on the wood floor, and it had like red and green and some more red and more green. I broke these Crayolas until I got me a pistol BB gun. Then I got a better shot. Well, the reason why I told you this was I didn't know I'd been saved, but I'd backslid, and I was in a place where there was hardly nothing there but dust, and it was hot, and my wife and I were having trouble. And then we moved with the company to Monahan, Texas. And we worked down there for a while. And when I left there, I never even looked back. I said, this God-forsaken place, I don't even want to look back and see it, because there was nothing there but mesquite brush and dust. But let me tell you where God put me to help me find it. Help him find me, me find him, was about maybe 40 miles from Monahans, Texas. And he put me and my wife there, and the same things, but the only difference was God was there. I didn't really know it at the time. We still had it rough, and we still had a hard time. But God, what it is, he saw something in me, out, like Brother Mark said, out of these billions of people. God decided he wanted to give me something. And I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that I'm here. Because I still remember sitting in front of the TV and all the lights out, and it's just there, and you just feel an emptiness within your heart. You don't feel anything. There's a empty spot that is in your soul. until God touches it. When God takes in His Spirit and puts down in your heart and quickens that to your heart, and it becomes a live soul in you, you just feel dead. Not only to the world, but dead to yourself. And so I'm so thankful that God brought me this way. And I'm so thankful that Sister Crow and Brother Crow, I feel so fortunate to have the opportunity to be here with you folks, because you guys are an inspiration to me. And not only just them, but the rest of you. You inspire me, and I appreciate it so much. I thank God that He gave me the sweet Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and that He has given me a desire to want to live for Him. I know that I have faults in my life, but if I let God work on me long enough, He'll work those things out also. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad that I'm here also, and I love you.
Well, while we're all so thankful, it'll be a good time to take up the offering. I got some prayer requests here from the Tyler Church in Texas. It says, Brother Felipe Shervin, he's a Hispanic brother in the church down there. He's in ICU with kidney failure, and he's got fluid on his lungs, and he's on a breathing machine. He's got a wife and four children. So we need to pray for Brother Shervin. And then, you know, we've been praying for Brother David Angelo. We need to keep praying for him. He's got some tests Friday, but it says Sister Christy Angelo, she's expecting a baby, and they found a cyst on the baby's brain. She's Brother David Angelo's daughter-in-law. So we need to pray for him and his daughter-in-law, and then Brother Shervin. And Brother Smith is in Florida right now. Isn't it a Haitian meeting they're having down there? I think so. We need to pray for him. Let's keep praying for Sister Bonnie Smith, that God would touch her, help her, and to get through this time. And for Sister Smith, she's not able to leave Sister Bonnie alone, so they're both kind of housebound right now. Let's pray for them. What other prayer requests do we have? Brother Al. Sister Elsie, yeah. It's really good to, we had special prayer for Sister Tally. It's so good to see Sister Tally, that there's nothing wrong with her. And she went into the hospital and what's that? What's that? Well, I didn't say that, Sister Tally. But I am thankful. I told her today when I saw her, I said, we're just so glad that there's nothing wrong with you. And they didn't keep her just overnight. So I'm thankful for that. What else do we have? Who? Sister Maxine. Yes, Sister Wilkins. Let's keep praying for her. Let's keep praying for Brother and Sister Weaver. It was Brother Crafton and Brother Weaver who came down to get us. Let's see, Brother Weaver was in the Oklahoma church at that time, wasn't he? Oh, you were both right here? Okay. And who would have ever thought it, that that was 26 years ago, Brother Crafton. He's just a little boy, kind of. But I remember Brother Leninger, he just bought this new tractor and had a trailer, and we went down there, and you couldn't have put any more in that tractor trailer than what we already had, and they moved us from Texas all the way up to Missouri, and we never would have thought that we'd be in the same church with those who blessed us so much 26 years ago. So let's pray for them. Sister Lisa? All right. She has a friend whose grandmother died, and then, huh? Grandpa died. Okay. And then your grandma. Brother Jerry. All right. Yeah. What else? We have some more prayer requests. I appreciate Brother Fisher. He called and he said he was going to be running a little bit late. I appreciate that. He let us know where he was. Okay. Brother Michael had to work. All right. Let's keep praying for Brother Henry. Let's keep praying for Brother Weiniger. He's still struggling, trying to get over the after effects of this surgery that he had. Let's keep praying that God will give him a really speedy recovery. And then let's just pray for each other. We all need prayer. Could we have the ushers come forward? Because we'd like to receive your tithes and your offerings and your missionary offerings. So let's have them come forward. Why don't we just stand? Let's take these prayer requests before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this such an encouraging service that we've had here today, God. These wonderful testimonies and the hope and the desire it gives and puts down in our heart to serve you, God, what you can do and how you can draw us and how you can keep us. God, we want to bring up all these people, this one brother in Tyler, Texas, God, that's on the breathing machine. Would you touch his body, raise him up, heal him, God, and Brother David Angelo, and then his sister, daughter-in-law, baby. Touch these, Lord, in the Tyler church. Encourage him, help him, God, and Sister Wilkins, Lord, and Brother Henry, and Brother Weiniger, and Brother and Sister Crow, and Brother and Sister Weaver, Brother and Sister Wallace, Bonnie Smith, and Sister Smith, and Sister Sandra York, God, all these, Sister Elsie, all these that have been named here tonight, God, and these unspoken prayer requests, God, we need your help in them, need your mercy, need your grace, need your loving hand to come down and touch us and meet our needs, God. And then we pray that you'd watch over Brother Smith, God, as he labors and works in your kingdom, God. Use them and help them there in Florida. And then bless this offering, God. Use it for your work here in this area. Glory to God. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. All right. Let's see if we got that. Does anybody know where the offering trays are?
They're back here.
Oh, are they?
My soul has found rest, O Lord.
invite somebody to church and come back Sunday expecting. God bless y'all. Shake hands and be friendly.